ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. So we are seeing the second chapter, Mahabhuta Vivekaha, or the Panchabhuta Vivekaha, is the very word Vivekaha means Vivichya Jnanam. Vivichya Jnanam means cutting, discriminative, clear understanding of things. And here, what is subject, what is the object of clear understanding? Panchabhutas. For Panchabhuta Vivekaha means a clear discriminative knowledge of the elements, what these elements are, what each element is, what all these five elements are, we're understanding here. Which means, finally we need to say, by analyzing the elements, we are not really interested in discovering what these elements are. Finally, we are going to understand all these elements are what essentially. By understanding what these elements are essentially, we understand the absolute reality, ultimate truth, Brahman, implied by the word Brahman. And we have seen in the last class, Upanishad presence is a form of a prakriya. And what is the prakriya here? Karanakarya prakriya, Srishti prakriya, the method of analyzing the cause-effect system or method of analyzing the creation of the universe in order to arrive at the truth of the universe. Usually, analysis of a given thing will result in the knowledge of that thing. But here, analysis of the creation of the universe is ultimately not to arrive at the knowledge of the universe, but actually arrive at the truth of the universe. So I said, Pancha Bhuta Vivekaha implies five elements and the elementals. And you understood how all the elements are originated from Brahman. Not only that, elementals also. Of the elementals, elementals constitute what? Drishya, the Indriyani, and the Indriya Vishayaha. Indriyani and the Indriya Vishayaha means all the 10 powers and the mind, 11 of them, plus their corresponding objects. We understood this much last class. And then we were doing, and we also understood very beautifully, Indriyani and the Golakani. Indriyani, Golakani. So, Indriyam means Shakti. Shakti means subtle power. Subtle power means imperceptible, which is not perceivable through any of the sense powers. What we found, Pancha Karma Indriyani, Pancha Jnana Indriyani, Antakaranam mind, and each Indriyam has its own locus, which is a physical part called Golakam. The last verse we saw was, now you know Indriyani Golakani, the mind and its Golakam. Mind also mind is called antahkaranam. Why? Because it is the mind. Mind is dependent on the sense powers which are to come in contact with the external world. Therefore, mind is called antahkaranam. Sense powers are called the bahyakaranani. If the mind does not associate itself with the powers, ten powers, the ten powers will be non-functional. For this karma indriyani and jnana indriyani, for them to be functional, therefore perception to take place or activities to take place, there must be association of the mind. They must be functional. If the powers of organs of actions, karmendriyani, are non-functional, no activity can take place. And you would be like a dead body without any movement. For the perception to take place, knowledge to take place, cognitions to take place, for the external world to have to be known, then the sense powers must be functional. For all these ten powers to be functional, mind must be backing up. Mind must be associating itself with the sense powers. For the mind to be to associate itself with the sense powers, thereby to make them all functional, mind must be functional by itself. For the mind to be functional, mind must be awake. It is called waking state. Deep sleep state is called a deep sleep state. And the mind is resolved. All mind is non-functional. So mind being non-functional is called a deep sleep state of the mind. And non-functional mind is a mind which is asleep. But the witness of the mind, which is distinct from the mind, because of whose presence, the mind being asleep, mind being awake, mind being functional is known as distinct, different. Anyway, so here the we saw that mind also is called antahkaranam. These powers are called bahyakaranani, external powers, which serve as instruments of knowledge and instruments of actions. Whereas antahkaranam is the internal subtle power which makes the external subtle powers function. And antahkaranam also has a golakam called hridayam. The physical heart is the golakam or the antahkaranam, the mind. This much we saw in the last class. I think we did the 12th verse. Mano dashendriyadhyaksham. Mano dashendriyadhyaksham. Krutpadme golake sthitam. Krutpadme golake sthitam. Tachyantahkaranam bahyeshu svatantryadvinendriyaihi. Tachyantahkaranam bahyeshu svatantryadvinendriyaihi. Which means indriyaihi vina antahkaranam can remain, which means the mind is not dependent on the functioning of the sense powers for it to become functional. Mind can be functional independently without the sense powers also. That's how we are able to have a dream experience. Whereas the sense powers and powers of organs of actions cannot function independently without being backed by the mind. without their association with the mind. They are dependent. Therefore, vina indriyehi antakaranam swatantriyad. Because it is independent of the mind, the internal subtle power of knowledge is independent of the external powers. Therefore, it is called what? Antahkaranam. Whereas the other 10 powers are dependent on the association with the mind for their functional, therefore they are called Bahyakaranam. And this manaha, Dasha Indriya Adhyaksham, the president of 10 powers, subtle powers, god of 10 powers, where now Krip Padme Golake Sitam, obtaining in the lotus heart, which is the Golakam. Okay. That is why in the Devi Mahatyam, what is the verse? Mm-hmm. Then comes the Bhagavad Gita also.
Okay, two.
Indriyanam adhishtatri. Indriyanam adhishtatri. Bhutanam chakileshu ya. Bhuteshu satatam tasye. Vyapti devi namo namaha. There, look at the consciousness as the absolute power which pervades the mind, and through the mind which pervades all the sense powers, and through the sense powers which illumines the external world. That is what we look at it. That's why even the word Hrishikeshaha, even the word Hrishikeshaha means what? Hrishikam means indriyam. Isha means the Lord of senses. Who is the Lord of senses? The one because of whose blessings, presence, the sense powers function. He is the Lord of the senses. Rishikanam Ishaha. And who is here? It's the mind. Is the direct Rishikesha. But mind also functions with the, because of the blessing of consciousness. So ultimately, the relative Lord of senses is called mind. The absolute Lord of sense organs is the consciousness. We have this word. That's what here we understand in the previous verse. Let's go to the 13th verse now. Akshesvartharpiteshvetad. Guna dosha vicharakam. Akshesvartharpite shvetad. Arthesh akshesvarti akshesvartharpite shvetad. Akshesvart Tharpite shvetad guna dosha vicharakam sattvam rajastamas chasya guna vikriyate hitaihi akshesvartharpite shvetad guna dosha vicharakam sat Tvam rajastamas chasya guna vikriyate hitaihi. Okay. Now here he says, Akshesu artha arpiteshu yetad guna dosha vicharakam. Yetad guna dosha vicharakam. Yetad means this mind. Now he's talking about the nature of the mind. Having introduced, talked about the Dasha Indriyani, Eka Dasha Indriyani and their Golakani, now first he's talking about the mind. What is the nature of the mind? Guna Dosha Vicharakam. Mind is that which is of the nature of analyzing the pros and cons of pros and cons. Or desirability or the undesirability of the objects. Guna, dosha. Or defects and the desirability. Gunan doshan vicharayati iti guna dosha vicharakam. Suppose it analyzes the pros and cons or desirability and undesirability, gunas and the doshas of what? Of the objects. When does the mind escape, when does the mind analyze the defects, desirability or the undesirability, gunas and doshas of the objects? It analyzes the gunas and doshas of the objects only when the mind is associated with the senses. Thereby it comes in contact with the external world. You know, the same meaning is given in different way in second chapter of Gita. What is that? Matra sparshastu kaunteya chitoshna sukha dukkada. When the mind comes in contact with the external world through the sense organs, then naturally there will be what? There will be experience of pairs of opposites. See, one has to, one will choicelessly, definitely will go through pairs of opposites. Likes and dislikes. Sukham, dukkham. Isn't it? Only when the mind comes in contact with the external world of objects. For the mind to come in contact with the external world of objects, definitely there must be what? In between sense powers. So without the sense powers, mind can never come in contact with the external world. But once the mind comes in contact with the external world through the sense powers, and definitely there will be what? There will be experience of pains, the pairs of opposites. That is put in different way here. Then mind starts analyzing each object. The minute mind associates itself, comes in contact with external objects through corresponding sense organs, immediately mind starts analyzing the objects. It is good or bad, right or wrong, desirable or not, enjoyable or not, I like it or not, immediately. But it analyzes what are the benefits of this object, how this object is undesirable, like that gunana, doshana, both it analyzes. It talks about the good things about the person, bad things about the person, isn't it? For everybody, all of us do about all of us. I don't like these things to this person. I like these things to this person. Similarly, everybody, other person may also talk about me. I like these things to this person. I don't like these things to that person. I like these things means gunan. What all I like with this person? What all I don't like with this person's behavior? You know, I like this object. Why? It is very useful. It helps me extract this, helps me this, that way. I don't like it. No, it makes a lot of noise. I like this wet grinder. No, why? It really very good. It grinds me, gets me better. I hate it. No, why? It makes a lot of noise. Like gunan doshan. You know, peanuts, I love them. Very nice, tasty, crunchy. Very nice, tasty. I like it. But why I'm scared of eating it? Because it has a lot of good and bad cholesterol. That's a fact. Like that, this mind, I'm going to give you small examples. The mind is of the nature of analyzing pros and cons, good and bad, right and wrong, desirability, undesirability of all the objects it comes in contact. It says, Vrikshesu artha arpiteshu. When the senses come, when the senses are given to the perception of their corresponding objects, then this mind comes in contact with those objects through the senses, then this mind becomes analyzer of the pros and cons of the objects. Gunadosha vicharaka means mind is analyst, analyzer of the pros and cons of the objects. And this mind also does not remain static. Thus, mind also is of the nature of what? Mind is material product. Mind is the subtlest of the material products. Therefore, mind is of the nature of undergoing changes. Mind being the material product, mind also is what expresses itself, is undergoing changes. In fact, threefold powers of the matter express themselves in the form of the mental condition, condition of the mind. So here, when the power of knowledge is predominant, that is called sattva-gunaha. When the power of desiring is predominant, iccha-shakti, jnana-shakti, kriya-shakti. These threefold powers, how do you understand, are called what? Three gunas. Sattva-gunaha, rajo-gunaha, tamo-gunaha are the three names given to the manifestations of threefold powers of the only power called Maya. Maya expresses itself in threefold forms as the power of knowledge, power of activity, and power of desiring. And these threefold powers expressed are called, given the three names of Sattva, Adhyaha, Tamaha. And because of these powers of the very matter, Maya, the matter, mind is what now? Mind undergoes changes. You can never stop. Every thought undergoes changes. Comes, exists, undergoes changes. Resolves. Like how waves come, remain and resolve. Thoughts also rise, exist and resolve. And not only that, there's a time all the thoughts resolve. That's why even the experience, threefold experiences are possible. Three states of experience are possible, is possible. Because of this modification happening on the part of the mind. If there is no modification, we will have only waking state. We will not know what is deep sleep state. And you would not have known what is dream state also. Then even other experiences, apart from these three normal human experiences, we may have some different experiences, like a heaven experience or any other experience. Everything is for experience means what? Mind only. No experience can happen anywhere on the part of any other part of the individual except the mind. Okay? That's why the body is only in a board of experience. Sense powers and powers of organs of actions are instruments of experience. The mind is the experience, and it is because of the mind alone experience is possible. So if any experience happens, it is mind. Like any wave is the ocean. Like every experience is nothing but a thought. It is the mind. So here, that therefore, experiences change. We have so many types of experiences. We have so many cognitions, so many knowledge, also knowledge of so many things. And all these things are possible because of this changing nature of the mind. So that's what he says, mind also undergoes changes because of the gunas. What is that which causes the mind undergo change, thought undergo changes, experiences change because of the gunas? We're going to understand the gunas later on in detail thoroughly. Now let us look. Let us understand this much. Sattvam rajas tamas chasya guna vikriyate hitaihi. So now, first here he talks about the antahkaram only now. All about, you're going to be analyzing the five elements. There you have understood the elementals. Of the elementals, you understood the indriyani and their objects. Now he starts his understanding what now. First, you're understanding the mind. So, sattvam rajaha tamaha cha asya gunaha. This, all these three gunas are three different names attributed to the threefold manifestations of threefold powers. I'm repeating the sentence. Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha are the names given to the manifestations of threefold powers called jnana shaktihi, kriya shaktihi, iccha shakti. Okay. What are they? Sattvam, rajaha, tamaha, asya gunaha. The gunas belong to the mind. It means mind alone has these gunas. The desiring is possible because of the guna. Knowing is possible because of the guna. And the knowing and desiring are possible. Because of this knowing and desiring alone, action also is possible on the part, activating is also possible on the part of the mind. See, knowing, desiring, activating. I'm repeating it. Knowing, desiring, activating, all the three are functions of the mind. It is possible because of this gunas. Okay? So, in fact, mind is what? The knower is the mind. The desirer is the mind. And the activator is the mind. But here the question may come, is it possible for the mind to become the desirer, knower, activator by itself? No. Mind by itself cannot be the knower, cannot be the desirer, cannot be the activator. We give the name to the mind as desirer, knower, activator, but because of the three functions happening, knowing, desiring, activating. And because of three functions alone, the activity on the part of the physical body is possible. Okay? But what is that without which mind cannot become the activator, desirer, and knower? Without the blessing of consciousness. So mind is the relative knower, mind is the relative activator, mind is the relative desirer. The absolute knower, desirer, activator is Atma, the consciousness. I need not talk about it, but still I'm just telling you this context. So we say the sattvam rajaha tamaha asya gunaha is because three functions are in the function of meditation, knowing, desiring, activating are possible because of these three gunas. So taihi vikriyate. Therefore, because of these gunas alone, mind is subject to modifications, changes. Okay. Now, how to understand there is a sattva gunaha and the sattva guna is manifest. Sattva guna is what? Manifestation of power of knowledge is given the name sattva gunaha. Manifestation of the power of knowledge, because of which the function of knowing is possible, is called sattva gunaha. Sattva gunaha is a name given to the manifestation of the power of knowledge, because of which the power of the act, the function of knowing is possible. The power of activity also, the manifestation of the power of activity is the more important function of not only knowing, other emotions. Twofold powers manifest or are obtaining in the form of twofold types of thoughts. We see that now. Vairagyam kshanti raudaryam. Vairagyam. Vairagyam kshanti raudaryam. Nityadhyā sattva sambhavāha. Nityadhyā sattva sambhavāha. Vairāgyam kshantiraudāryam. Nityadhyā sattva sambhavāha. Nice to read Vijayana Swami's book, because every sentence is like a clean definition. If you want, somebody want to ask you, hey, what is Sattvaguna? How do you understand Sattvaguna? Presence of Sattvaguna. You cannot search for Sattvaguna and perceive Sattvaguna. Sattvaguna is a name given to certain condition of the mind, implying the manifestation of given power of the Maya, isn't it? That's all. He says, Vairagyam. Now, if we understand the mind thoroughly, thorough understanding of the antahkaranam, okay, the internal instrument of mind, Vairagyam. Vairagyam means dispassion. Dispassion means knowing the limitations of every object in the world. What an object can give me, what it cannot give me. What crossing can do, what crossing cannot do. What statin can do, what it cannot do, what all side effects it can cause. Like every knowing about everything, isn't it? Once you know how much value will give, you will not undermine the anything, underestimate everything, at the same time you will not overvalue anything also. You will give due respect to everything. So Vairagyam implies giving due respect to everybody, everything in the world, knowing what one can do, what one cannot do, what a thing can give, what it cannot give. Once you know this, you will not be dependent on that object for your happiness. Now, actually here Vairagyam implies what? Vairagyam implies the knowledge of every object in the world, that no object in the world can be, no object is a source of happiness. Therefore, no object can give happiness. Knowing that the objects cannot give happiness, not being, having grown out of desire for the objects, knowing their limitations, that they cannot give happiness, is called what? Vairagyam. Dispassion towards things. I'm not interested in these things. Why? It cannot give me what I want. We all have Vairagyam towards so many things. If you are not interested, you know, every day when I walk through shops, I see a big meat shop, halal meat shop, and I don't even turn that side. Vairagyam, okay? Vairagyam, you not being interested at all in things, now which cannot give you what you want, is called what? Vairagyam. But here Vairagyam also means what? When you see that nothing in the world can give you happiness, grown out of desire for things, like you're not being dependent on things for happiness, is called Vairagyam. Vairagyam, in what form does it obtain? That is Vairagyam. You say this is nose, this is ear, this is hair. What is Vairagyam? A Vairagyam is a phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought. Vairagyam is also thought, means mind. Vairagyam is, doesn't belong to physical part. Vairagyam is a subtle thought form. Vairagyam. And next, kshantihi. Now he's going to say all these thoughts, all these phenomena obtaining in our subtle thoughts constitute what? The antahkaranam, and they're all products of, they're all expressions of the manifestation of sattva-guna. He's going to say, one must have sattva-guna predominantly. One day it is, all these thoughts will be there. If you want vairagyam, we should eat your sattvic things. Okay. Then kshantihi. Kshantihi is a beautiful feminine gender word, which another mean is shama. Kshantihi, shama mean the same. Shama means porume, forbearance, tolerance, endurance, is called kshama. Kshantihi. And also, kshamikrat, no? Forgiving nature. Forgiveness is also called kshantihi. You forgive, then audaryam. So in what form does forgiveness, that, no, the nature of forgiving nature, forgiveness. Where is forgiveness? Kshama. Forgiveness also is a phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought. You understand this, you know. In some minds, there is no kshama at all. In some minds, you see kshama. Isn't it? That means that mind is devoid of a particular thought. Therefore, farkshantihi. Audaryam. Audaryam means udarata. Udara gunaha means generosity. Being very generous. Being generous is called audaryam. In sharing, in giving, contributing, distributing. In all days now, generosity, being generous. So in being generous, in donating, in giving things which are useful for others. It's not simply giving, it's sharing. This is generosity. What is audaryam? What is udarata? What is generosity? In English also. Generosity, where does it exist? You talk about this highly generous person. You talk about him as the nature of the individual. Where do you find the generosity? In what form does generous, you know, nature, generosity, no? Obtain. Generosity is also a subtle, a phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought. You had, when you talk about it, what is it? Where is it? Where does it exist, generosity? Generosity is not on the part of the object, not on the chair or table or anything. Generosity is in a person. And where does it? In the tummy? No. It is the subtle phenomenon obtaining in the thought. Audaryam. So, Vairagyam, Kshantihi, Audaryam, Ityadi. Now, Vidyarana Swami expects us to find more of these gunas, like all desirable, pleasant, pleasing nature of the individual. We say this person is very kind-hearted, very loving, very giving, very accommodative, very tolerant, you know, all about, you know, very welcoming. It's like what all right, pleasant, pleasing nature of a person, desirable nature of a person you have. all that you talk about, they all you have to add in the Adi Shabda. Adi means etc. So Vairagyam, Shantihi, Audaryam, Ityadi, Ityadityadyaha. Ityadyaha means such as all, you know, all the pleasant, pleasing, desirable qualities of a person expressed are all the subtle phenomenon obtaining in him for thoughts, such as dispassion, non-attachment or forgiveness, you know, generosity, tolerance, endurance, etc. They're all sattva sambhavaha. They're all born of the sattva. Sattva guna. What sattva guna? The power of knowledge alone is manifest as is in the form of all these thoughts, all these phenomena. The power of knowledge alone obtaining in the form of all these phenomena, thought forms. So it is sattva sambhavaha. They are all expressions of sattva gunaha. If you see all these things in a person, you can say this person is predominantly a sattvic nature person. Then, not only these are there in a person, you also have other things. They're all mind. All mind. Kama krodho lobha yatna vidyadhyā. Rajasotitaha kama krodho. Kama krodho means kamaha cha krodha cha dual. Kama krodho. Kamaha desire. Then krodhaha anger. Lobhaha. Lobhaha greed. Yatnaha. Yatnau. Lobha yatna. Now, ityadyaha, lobha yatnau, ityadyaha means lobha yatnaha iti adyaha. Yes. Now, there are certain other phenomena such as a desire. See, everything, look at it as a phenomenon, a natural phenomenon. Beautiful way of looking at it. Nothing is here, something, suddenly something doesn't come. Whatever exists is a natural phenomenon. So, kama is also, desire is a natural phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought. Similarly, krodha is also what? Anger also is a natural phenomenon obtaining in the form of a subtle thought. Lobha, greed. We talk about the greed. This person is very greedy, you say. Where is the greed? Greed also is a natural phenomenon obtaining in the form of a subtle thought. Lobaha. Then yatnaha, effort. All the time, he is very effortful. He makes lots of efforts, we say. How do you say that? You see the person's behavior and say he's effortful. All expression, behavior is expression of the mind, expression of the thoughts. There's an effort, something called effort on the part of an individual. What is an effort? Effort also is a natural phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought, a subtle. You cannot see the effort through physical eyes, but effort is a subtle phenomenon obtaining in your subtle thought. Yatnaha. Lobaha. Now, ityadyadyaha. Ityadyaha. Ityadyaha. Enbavai mudaliyana. We say. Such as, therefore, there are so many other subtle phenomena obtaining in your subtle thoughts, such as anger, desire, greed, effort, etc. They are also what? subtle phenomena. They also obtain in our thoughts only, but they are also part of the mind only. But they are expressions of different guna called rajas. They are expressions of a different guna. See, in the mind itself, one antahkaranam, in that one antahkaranam, what antahkaranam? There are subtle phenomena obtaining in our subtle thoughts with the twofold expressions of the twofold gunas, twofold powers. So it is the rajog, this power of activity alone called rajoguna in the form of, or to express itself in the form of this kama, krodha, etc. Therefore, don't go and search for rajoguna. Rajoguna you cannot find. You see somebody angry, you understand rajoguna. Expression of rajoguna. Somebody is very greedy, expression of rajoguna. No, highest degree of rajoguna. Then if somebody is very, full of and desires, natural. There's no human being doesn't have disease. Everybody must have this disease. But the quantity, the proportion may vary from person to person. But the desire, whether you have one desire, 100 desire, 10 desires, there is what? Expression of the rajoguna. Similarly, any effort we make, there is rajoguna, expression of the rajoguna. This is sattvaguna. See, this all you understand. This how now mind is what now. These changes. You are not all 24 hours angry. Sometimes you are angry. Sometimes you have desires impelling so much. Sometimes you make a lot of efforts. Sometimes you know. This thing I should have more. Is all the time all of them are not there. Sometimes they are there. Therefore, that's what we call them. Mind also undergoes changing what now. These thoughts do not remain all the time. They keep undergoing change. Keep on changing. So what if he wants to say here? He understand the antahkaranam. Antahkaranam is not something, a form. You cannot see the antahkaranam. You cannot draw the antahkaranam. You cannot paint and describe the antahkaranam. Antahkaranam is a mind, the internal, subtlest product of the matter, instrument of knowledge. It has been understood in terms of what? The many subtle phenomena obtaining in the realm of thoughts constitute this antahkaranam. So, many subtle phenomena obtaining in the form of thoughts constitute the antahkarana. All the thought modifications constitute the antahkarana. So each phenomenon is obtained in a given thought form. What he wants to say here. Now, alasyam bhranti tandradya, alasyam bhranti tandradya, vikaras tamasottitaha, alasyam bhranti tandradya, vikaras tamasottitaha, सात्विकै पुण्यनिष्पत्तिः पापोत्पत्तिश्च राजसैः आलस्यं भ्रान्तितन्द्राद्याः विकारास्तमसोत्थिताः. नौ तमो गुणः इज व्हाट द पावर ऑफ inertia. The power of inertia manifest is called tamo gunaha, and power of inertia called power of inertia known as tamoguna expresses itself in the form of thoughts, which are subtle phenomena obtaining in our thoughts, thought modifications. What are they? Alasyam. Hey, what is alasyam? Laziness. We talk, this person is lazy. We only see the external behavior and we add adjectives to the person. Lazy. Lazy, how do you say the person is lazy? Because there's laziness on the part of the person. And what is this laziness? What is laziness? How will you describe laziness? You can write 9 pages, 10 pages of work. No, how a person can live lazy. That's a different thing. But what is laziness? Somebody asks you, how will you describe? A laziness is a phenomenon, natural phenomenon. In what form does it obtain? Obtaining in the thought. And what is it now? Which is an expression of the tamoguna called tamoguna, which is the manifestation of the power of inertia. So power of inertia manifests, is given the name tamoguna. Tamoguna you cannot see through physical eyes. Tamoguna has to be understood in the form of what? It's expression of the power of inertia obtained, subtle phenomena, the thought forms. Alasyam, laziness. Bhrantihi means confusion. Okay, confusion. Then tandradhyaha. Tandra means drowsiness, dullness, lethargy, tandra. Adhyaha means etc. Now we can add. Okay. He says what Humpty is. So laziness, confusion, dullness, drowsiness, etc. What are they? See, all these are the natural phenomena obtaining in the form of subtle thoughts such as laziness, confusion, drowsiness, dullness, etc. are all vikaraha tamasochitaha. They are all expressions of the modified form of the tamoguna. Tamoguna alone, what now? Expressions of tamoguna. What is tamoguna? Name given to the manifestation of the power of inertia. The power of inertia manifests in the form of subtle phenomena, thoughts, in terms of alasyam, bhrantihi, tandra, tandram, etc. Tamoguna, tamas. Okay, so when you say power, knowledge is one, the power of knowledge is one, isn't it? It is inseparable. The only power of knowledge, known by the word of Maya, expresses itself in threefold forms as power of knowing, power of activity, and power of desiring and power of activity. And all these are what now? Given three different names, Tattva-gunaha, Rajo-gunaha, Tamo-gunaha. So, Jnana-shaktihi, Kriya-shaktihi, and here, Iccha-shaktihi. Piaget, three, 4 years, and even 3 different years. Now he says, Sattvikaihi Punya Nishpatihi. No? Sattvikaihi Punya Nishpatihi. Nishpatihi means attainment or outcome. Nishpati means outcome. Punya Nishpati, Punyam is the outcome of the activities which are impelled by Sattvic thoughts. Why? Because if there is Vairagyam, if there is Kshantihi, if there is Audaryam, if there is Dharma Dharma Viveka, if there is a strength, then naturally there will be Sattvikaihi Punya Nishpatihi, outcome of the activities which are expressions of Sattvic thoughts, which are expressions of Sattvaguna, there will be Punyam. Punyam is what? Punyam, which is the fruit of actions, which will get translated into the enjoyment of pleasure. It means right actions. Punya Nishpati means punyam, the result of right actions, will be the outcome of the expressions of right actions, the expressions of the predominant sattva, sattvic thoughts. Then papa utpattischa rajasaihi. Rajasaihi. It is because of the rajoguna alone are able to act. But when you are acting, your actions are in conformity with dharma, means what? Sattva. Sattvic. Yes, rajas. So papa utpattischa rajasaihi. Then there's outcome of papam, which will result in pain, produced by the actions which are expressions of the thoughts obtaining, thoughts, rajasic thoughts, isn't it? So rajoguna is not bad. Rajas is not bad, but thoughts which are expressions of the rajoguna, and if they impel the activities which are expressions of the, impelled by the thoughts, the expressions of the rajoguna, then the result in what? The result in papam. Papa Nishpatti means outcome. Papam is the outcome, the result of the rajasic activities. Activities impelled by the rajoguna. Now, if tamas is predominant, you do not gain punyam, nor do you gain papam. You know why? When you fall asleep, in sleep, first of all, you don't have any identity. Therefore, you do not think you are the doer or you are the enjoyer. There is no identity. And you don't do anything, isn't it? Therefore, how can you, thank God, in sleep, none of us earn punyam or papam. You exhaust some prabala, some weak parabdha in the form of dream. If you fall asleep, in sleep, do we earn punya papam? Thank God. At least in sleep, we neither earn punyam nor do we earn papam. When do we earn punyam or papam? Only in the waking state. If we do the right actions, you earn punyam. If you do the wrong actions, you earn papam. The wrong actions are expressions of the predominance of rajoguna. Right actions are expressions of the predominance of sattva guna. when tamas is predominant, you neither you have doership nor you have enjoyership. You don't even have identity because you are knocked off. Tamas means you are knocked off. You are fast asleep. You don't, and punyam or pap means sleep. But sometimes you exhaust your punyam and papam in sleep also. How? There's no, isn't it? Sometimes when you go to dream, not in sleep, from the sleep when you go to dream, then some weak paradha you exhaust. You have some punyam. You win the lottery in dream. You exhaust some little punyam, not weak paradha. If you are strong part of the punyam, then you would have won the lottery now, waiting, okay? You win the lottery in the, you have joy of having won the lottery in dream. And you wake up, it goes. Suppose you have weak parabdha. That's called durbala prarabdha. You exhaust in dream. You have some papam. Durbala prarabdha. So some thief comes and chases you, makes you run, and you're so scared and frightened, you're sweating, you really get scared in dream. And you wake up, it is not. So some durbala prarabdha, punya prarabdha or pava prarabdha can be exhausted, not in real life, but in the dream. Exhaustion of durbala prarabdha, punya pava is possible in dream. I Bhagavan somehow makes you experience that, okay? You can't escape. Durbala prarabdha. You thought of stealing somebody. So somebody comes, steals your dream. See, even if you think of doing any harm to other person, you will have to go through the pain for the wrong thinking in your dream, okay? If you didn't do it, and somebody will come and do it in the waking. That is why your thoughts, even if you think of doing something wrong, that as a result of it, you have to go through the pain mentally. I mean, in dream at least. So here, so the durbala prarabdha punya papa exhaust in dream, but in deep sleep state, no exhaustion of punya papa, no accumulation of punya papa, you are just flat, isn't it? Knocked off. Therefore, you do not earn punyam and papam in deep sleep state. Why? Because predominantly tamas is predominant. The next sloka he says, tamasaihi na ubhayam. Neither punyam nor papam you earn whenever tamas is predominant. Kintu vrithayu kshapanam bhavet. Sometimes, not only in deep sleep state, even in the waking state, the laziest people do not do anything. They do not do the right action, laziness. They do not do the wrong actions also. So the Mahatmas are what? Oh my God, look at this. This person does not do any wrong action. Then you do right action? No. Isn't the right action also? What does he do? He simply gets up in the morning, eats, again sits. Eats and sits. And occasionally, because of the nature's compulsion, he goes to the toilet and comes out. So, no, that's all. He attends to all the nature's calls. Apart from that, he does not do anything else. He does not do anything. He doesn't do wrong action. He has the right action also. Why? Laziest fellow. Why? When a tamas is predominant, my God, the person is predominantly tamasic, tamaso. He has little of rajas for what? To get up and go and eat and drink and come back sit. He has little of sattva for what? To know where food is available, where I should go and get it. So that's but little sattva, little rajas. They only to attend to the nature's calls. Otherwise, this person doesn't do anything. Such a person, tamasaihi, we call predominance of tamas, It does not do right action. It does not do wrong action also. One must have a lot of drive to do the wrong action also, isn't it? So lazy. Ubhayam, na ubhayam. He does not do both. Therefore, does not turn punyam and papam. What does she do? Parantu, kintu, but, vritha, yuhu, ayuhu, kshapanam, bhade. Ayuhu, kshapanam is what? Spending of the span, whole span of life is spent in vain, wasted. Vritha, ayuhu, kshapanam means the span of life, ayuhu, span of life is spent, kshapanam. Means kaitam. Ayuhu kshapanam. Ayuhu kshapanam. And then the spending of life, the span of life is what? In is waste. Vritha ayuhu kshapanam bhaved. Veena ayul kaihirade. The whole span of life is spent in vain. It is wasted. I'm going to stop with that 16th verse, second line. I'm not going now. I'm not going to do it. I'm stopping with the first line itself. What happens? How three gunas? What are the three gunas? Okay, look at this next topic comes. He's going to introduce ahankara as part of mind. Let me tell you first of all. See, aham atra aham pratyayi karta iti evam loke vyavasthiti. The second line I'm going to explain in the next class. It is sort of unfolding. Let me tell you only one thing. There are antahkaranam, the three gunas are there, and three gunas are nothing but names given to the expressions of, manifestations of threefold powers. And these manifestations of threefold powers, known by three different names, Hattu Gunaha, Rajo Gunaha, Tamo Gunaha, are expressed in the form of the natural, subtle phenomena obtaining in the form of thoughts which constitute the mind. Every word I said must be very clear now. Is it clear? You must be able to clearly define. So, we understood now how sattva gunaha is a sattva is predominant. It contributes for accumulation of punya. Then, if rajas is predominant, it contributes for activities which result in accumulation of papa. If tamas is predominant, it does not contribute for accumulation of punyam or papam because the person cannot involve any activity. Therefore, the whole life becomes lived in vain. The whole life is wasted. Okay, it's all fine. Now, what do we understand? The entire antahkaranam, the subtlest instrument of internal instrument of knowledge, known by the word antakkanam, involve the function of meditation, is nothing but the many subtle phenomena obtaining in the mouth thoughts to constitute the mind. Now there, one more thought is there, one more subtle phenomenon, without which the antakkanam cannot even exist. What is that one main subtle phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought, thereby which forms part of the antakarana mind, without which the whole mind cannot exist at all, is called what? Aham pratyayaha. Pratyayaha means cognition. I cognition. Aham pratyayaha means I cognition. I cognition means what? I means what? I always like to talk about this I. I is a first person singular pronoun used by every individual to refer to one's own self, which is an expression of the manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought. All this time I said what? Every mind is constituted of many varieties of subtle phenomena, up to know subtle thoughts. They are products of matter, I said. Now what I say, I is a first person singular pronoun used by everyone to refer to one's own self, and which is an expression of the manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the thought. Aham pratyaya. This is also what a thought modification. That's a thought modification. And this is the most important of the thoughts. The subtlest phenomenon obtaining in the thought, without which the whole mind cannot exist at all. But aham pratyaya. Aham. Now the question comes here itself. Bhagavan is very clear. What is aham? What is I? We need not even go into the Vedantika. Other person, other inquiry. Just here, what is I? Now you understood what is alasyam. What is bhranti? What is vairagyam? What is kshanti? What is audayam? What is kamaha? What is krodaha? What is lobaha? What is yatnaha? And every word I said, like what is chair? What is cot? What is book? What is phone? If you say, you can touch, you will show all the objects, isn't it? Every word indicates corresponding object. And every word indicates its corresponding gross, external, perceptible object. But now all these words also indicate the corresponding objects. But they're all not gross forms, perceptible forms. That is why we call them sukshma. Sukshma vrittayaha, subtle thought modifications. Vrittihi means a thought. They're all not gross perceptible forms, but imperceptible subtle phenomenon of not thoughts. So, vairagya, etc. We understand, so correspondingly, you understand now. When you say anger, you understand what anger means. Even though you do not perceive the anger, if you say phone, you understand the meaning of the word. When I say anger, you understand the meaning of the word. So each word has its corresponding vishaya. Each word has its corresponding vishaya. The object indicated by that particular word, the meaning of the word. Now the word comes what? Now there's another pratyaya comes. Aham pratyaya. Hey, aham, what is aham? You understand? Aham also. Aham means I. I also is a sub phenomenon, natural phenomenon obtaining in the form of a subtle thought, which is an expression of the manifestation of knowledge used by every individual human being to refer to oneself. Here it's understood what now I is also thought, a natural phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought. Therefore you cannot say I means body. Nice way of understanding, isn't it? What is I? Today I enjoy my class. Hope you all enjoy it. Do you all? Here it will be said, what is I? What is anger? What is, you understood everything. What is I? Vidyanya Swami slowly, finally brings this I is also a natural phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought. And every thought is manifestation of knowledge. All these thoughts, which are manifestations of the knowledge, constitute the antahkaranam, mind. Every opaque thing is a reflection of light. Every thought, every phenomenon obtaining in the form of every thought is also manifestation of knowledge. All these various varied thoughts, which are manifestations of knowledge, constitute the antahkaranam, mind. Therefore, mind is always a conscious mind. Mind by itself is the inert material product. It is a conscious mind. How does it become conscious? That we see later on. But later on, that's not present today's class. Now we have to say, we have to remember this fact, anything, a gross, externally perceived object, elemental, or imperceptible, subtle phenomenon obtaining in the thought, everything which enjoys existence is what? Existence with a given form and name. Unless in the elementals. One thing I want to tell you, please understand, any type of meditation a person practices, whatever a practice meditation person practices, as a result of which, whatever experience one has, there cannot be something called experience outside of one's mind. Any experience is only in one's own mind. Experience means mind. Therefore, we have to understand, you need travel all within one's mind only, okay? You go there, you go here, you go there, means what? It's all within your mind. That's why we say different planes of experience. We naturally, we understand three states of experience. Waking, dream, deep sleep. And each state of experience, what now? Dream, between the dream and the waking, what they both are states of experience, two different planes of experience, isn't it? The same way, suppose samadhi you get, or any other experience comes, or you go to Pitrulok, or that Lok, any experience is all your mind. Okay, any experience is mind. So please understand. So different planes of experience. And any experience is vidya. So we need not underestimate, we need not overvalue it. Understand the experience as experience. And as Vedanta students, we should not forget this fact. We are not interested at all in any type of experience. Because any experience, whatever great the experience is, it will be time-bound in nature. And we are interested in timeless, everlasting moksha, the happiness. It is our swarupam, it is the pratyam. We are not working for experience at all. Now the whole I tell you, now, because I came upon one person, through one person I came to know there's a big group of confused people in London, and they contribute tremendously for the confusion of the world. Lord, now what they do, they talk about, they tell people, we will take you to different worlds. And they make a person lie down, they tell them the stories, they highly hypnotize, I don't know what they do, they tell you. Now they talk to you, they make you talk, take you to practice something, they will take you to your grandmother, talk to your grandmother who is no more, you can take it to your, you know, father-in-law, grandfather, father, somebody. It's all the men. And if the people are crazy, they want to have some spiritual, they call it spiritual experience. Any experience is spiritual. But spiritual, you know, we don't need to say that, okay? But a spirit is not experienced. Because Swami always used to tease us. There's no dental knowledge and then physical knowledge. Knowledge is intellectual. Why do you don't need to say intellectual knowledge? And you know, mental worry. A worry is mental. You don't need to unnecessarily use adjectives. Therefore, like that, because we don't get carried away by this, all flowery language talks about the experiences. That experience, this experience. And I request you not to read the autobiography of a yogi. Okay? They're often to me, they may kill me if they come to know. I don't mind saying. Whichever yogi has any experience, so what? Ask them. We are not interested in your experience. Because I happened to see some problems, I felt so sad. The people are struggling to come out of it. They, you know? The problems. That's what I'm telling you. Don't be interested. Don't show any interest in any experience. Experience means your mind. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnah Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Rubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.